ladies, and happy Friday. This week, Alex and I are here with yet another very juicy and genius woman. Her name is Jennifer Kim, and today she's joining us from the sunny paradise island of Honolulu, Hawaii. Now, Alex and I first had the pleasure of meeting Jen at Awesomeness Fest in Maui, and she is a mom, she's an entrepreneur, and she is absolutely obsessed with helping other entrepreneurs, especially like-minded ladies like us, make their life their business. Now, she's known as the Mindset, Marketing, and Moxie Mentor for Modern Women, and we recently had the opportunity to catch up with Jen at Lisa Nichols' Speak and Write to Make Millions event where we were speaking. When we saw Jen again, we're like, you know what, we definitely need to connect, and that's when we decided to interview her. So Jen, of course, is a multi-passionate woman, and she loves to surf and read, and she's into personal development and shopping. In fact, she used to write for an award-winning blog on fashion and beauty, and she actually spent over 15 years in the corporate world helping high-tech companies bring specialized million-dollar-plus product launches to market. So now the cool thing that Jen has done is she's actually taking all this knowledge from her past, and she's applying it and helping entrepreneurs like us really help people to spread their message. So thank you so much for joining us today, Jen. We're very happy to have you here.
I am super excited to join you, ladies. Happy Friday.
Like Leanne said, when we first, you know, got the chance to really speak with you in San Diego a couple weeks ago, we were just so excited to hear all the neat stuff you were up to and knew we wanted to introduce you to our community of women because, like us, you have a very, very passionate and purposeful message, and I just know that you're going to add a lot of value, and your story is just going to be so great for our community to hear. So we're going to ask you a little bit more about exactly what you do in your business a little bit later on in this interview. But to start off, why don't you just go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Great. Well, again, thanks you guys for the opportunity. I am so thrilled to be connected with the Juicy Geniuses and your community, so I appreciate that. And as Leanne said, you know, for the past, well, prior to the past 6 years, for 15 years prior to that, I was a corporate mama, and I was really, you know, kind of following that path of rising up in the corporate ladder, and my whole background is in product development and product launches and marketing of high technology products in my past, and a lot of those products you may already use today in your everyday life, whether it's at home or in your business, because my main employers were Microsoft and Oracle and Sun Microsystems, and you know, I kind of was feeling the burnout, and as much as I loved marketing and I loved product development, I felt very constrained by the corporate, I call it the corporate machine, and, you know, I was, something inside of me knew that I really wanted to connect back with my own legacy, and part of that influence came from having my two juicy geniuses in the making, my two daughters, Michaela and Jordan, and I wanted them to be raised with the same values plus ambition that I had growing up in Hawaii. So I cut my ties to the corporate world, hopped on a plane, and came back to Hawaii to raise my two girls. And, you know, I'm very lucky because I come from humble roots. You know, I grew up on a plantation where we used to grow sugarcane and pineapples. And, you know, I decided that especially I wanted to start in Hawaii and help entrepreneurs here first locally to learn basic marketing techniques, because in Hawaii there are the majority of the business comes from tourism, small business, and the federal government, federal and state governments. And I noticed there was a gap, especially for women entrepreneurs here. So I thought when I first started out, you know, left the corporate world, I really focused locally, and you know, over the past few years have been really working locally with my peers here to help them with both their online and their offline marketing efforts to grow their businesses. So that's kind of where I've been past 7 years back in Honolulu. And, you know, I travel to Maui and Kauai and the Big Island a lot to do workshops there as well.
Wow, that's amazing. So you're definitely up to a lot of juicy goodness out on those islands. So I find when we talk with women, and I know Alex and I, we both experienced this ourselves, and you kind of talked about it a bit, but when did you really have that stroke of juicy genius? I know that you had your daughters and you wanted to raise them, you know, on the islands, but when was that exact moment when you realized that you were meant to be doing so much more, and when you actually like really took the plunge and stepped into pursuing your passion relentlessly?
Yeah, I have it very clear in my mind. I'll never forget, I was launching a product for Oracle, and if any of you are familiar or worked in the corporate world, a lot of companies use the PeopleSoft program to run all of their HR and financial systems. And that particular launch was a multi-million dollar launch. And I'll never forget, I was working literally 2 months straight, 100 hours a week, didn't see the light of day. And my older daughter was at the time 7, and my little one was 2. And, you know, I'll never forget, we had hit the button on the launch, and we got a bunch of affiliates and resellers to pick up PeopleSoft, and it was a big hit. And I remember it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, the day, like literally minutes after the launch to the market. And I realized that I hadn't even talked to my kids for probably 24 hours. In fact, I didn't even know what they were doing at that moment. And I'm kind of ashamed to say that out loud, but, you know, lucky for me, they had their dad, you know, to help me out, but I hadn't seen my kids for 24 hours nor talked to them. And for the 2 months prior to that, I mean, I probably could have counted on my fingers how many hours I really spent any quality time with them. And I also realized that by launching and being behind, being the catalyst behind that big launch, that I had just made a big company literally billions of dollars, and the prices that I was paying in the time with my kids, as well as frankly my salary, because I was grateful for earning a pretty good salary, it wasn't worth it. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning that night that I said, okay, I've got to figure out a game plan to get back to Hawaii and get more grounded, or else this is going to be my life for the rest of my life. So that was the moment.
Wow. Thank you so much for being so candid and open with that. I think in a lot of cases, it really comes down to that one moment where something, you know, triggers you to just realize that you have to make a change. And in your case, it was your kids. And I really respect and honor that you put them first and realize that, you know, it was really important to spend more quality time with them. And I think everyone needs to really hear that and understand that that's such an important part of being a mom and things like that. So again, thank you for sharing. And the next question I have for you, Jen, is, you know, you made that decision. It was 1 a.m. You told yourself, okay, that's it. I'm making a change. I'm going back to Hawaii. I need to get more grounded, especially in your position where you had what many would call the perfect job. You were working with big companies. You were obviously getting paid pretty well. Where did you find the courage to kind of let that all go and decide that you were ready and willing to give up the 9-to-5?
Oh, I can tell you that I didn't have that much courage at that moment. I was in desperation is how I would describe it. It really was, I had thought that I could continue doing what I was doing and being a super mom, a super woman, and super family person. You know, coming from Hawaii, family is huge. Also, I come from an Asian background. So I, in terms of courage, I would call it, it got to the point where I wasn't willing to pay the price anymore. It just felt like I was going to lose everything if I didn't make that change. So I guess I would call it courage, but I would call it like I needed to do it instead of even I wanted to do it. And I think that's an important distinction. I see a lot of women who, like me, they're juggling all of that. And I was forced into courage is how I would say it, but I'm grateful for it. I truly believe the universe, God, source, you know, just pushed me in that direction. And if I didn't choose what I did, I was headed for a train wreck. And so I would say that it was looking to what I really wanted and knowing that if I stayed on the trajectory that I was, my pocketbook might look really nice. Bank account was looking really nice, but I was losing everything around me. And so the courage came from not being willing to lose anymore.
Wow. What you shared was just extremely powerful. Now, I know that a lot of the women that we talk to, I'd say it's almost half and half. Some of them, they have this feeling inside, and they know that they're meant to do more, and I know that we all have this, but that's what drives some people more than others. Then there's the other people, and this is similar to you. You had a rude awakening, and you were in this position where it's like you had no choice but to move forward. So I guess my next question to you is, what tip would you give to a woman who's in that position where they're scared and they don't necessarily have the courage, or they don't feel that they have the courage to actually take that next step forward when they don't even know what that next step is, but all they know is that they cannot stay the way they are?
I think my biggest program that was running me is that it's not responsible for me to do this. And I think that's the program that runs a lot of us women, you know, whether or not you're just starting out in your career and you don't have kids yet, but you want that whole life, you know, that 360 life. I mean, that was me at 22. I wanted to be married. I wanted to have kids and I wanted to be a rock star corporate executive. And, you know, fast forward, you know, 10 years when I hit that breaking point, or I'll call it instead a tipping point for me, because I think breaking point sounds negative, is that I realized that the program, quote unquote, responsibility that was running me was irresponsible, if that makes sense. Because I think, you know, it was like, oh God, you know, if I did my pros and cons list, which I did, and I'm not, you know, I'm more of a creative visionary and I love implementation, but I really had to take a step back and kind of write down my advice. Is this worked for me, it might work for some of the women in your community, but I literally wrote down, you know, all of the financial, spiritual, so not just the financial puts and takes or the pros and cons that I had to look at by making this decision, but also what were the spiritual gains and losses that I was experiencing, what were the family gains and losses that I was experiencing, and then even my physical being, you know, the gains and the losses that I was, and once I put it down on paper and I saw it, I realized how, again, I had focused my success, or you know what my definition of success was, that I was fiscally or financially responsible, that I could pay for the things, you know, give my kids a lifestyle, but really they just weren't having me. And I figured I can have this and that instead of it being or, you know. I think that's the other thing that I would suggest is when you're looking at things in your life, get away from the word or and get kind of connected to the word and that was how I really made that choice. That's how I found the courage. And it started with just literally back of a napkin, kind of writing down all the stuff, all the prices I was paying, and then all the things that I could gain and the legacy that I wanted to have for both my life and then, of course, my business, which I had had in my head for years. I knew that I was actually supposed to be an entrepreneur, but growing up, I come from a family that, you know, you were successful if you were in medicine, if you were in the corporate world, or you worked for the government. And so I had thought that if I did that, I would please everyone around me. And I was successful by, again, many definitions, but I was physically, spiritually, financially, I was everything bankrupt except for financially. And that wasn't worth it to me. So I would look at your life in a 360 degree view. That would be my advice.
That is such an awesome piece of advice. And you said so many things there that I think, first of all, a lot of the women in our community can relate to. I love that you talked about really the different areas of your life and how they determine success, and that it isn't just financially, but that you can look at all of these different, like you said, 360 degrees, all these different spokes, essentially, that are a part of your life, your family, your health, your financial well-being, your, you know, your relationships and all of that, and look at exactly how each one is contributing to your life. And you're right, success isn't defined purely through how much money you make. And talked about using the word or. I think so many people are programmed to believe in this either or myth, like you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? And I totally disagree. I think you can have your cake and multiple cakes and you can eat them all, but you have to be smart and you have to know and you have to know, you know, really what it is that you define as being important to you, and not what your parents or your friends or your teachers or your colleagues tell you what success means. And so believing that you can either be successful or have a great relationship with your family, or that you can have money, but you won't necessarily have the best of health because you really wouldn't have time to focus on your health. And I think so many people believe that. And a lot of it does have to do with the money component. It's shocking is how many people are willing to give up those other things for money because they put such an importance on it. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are raised that way and they're programmed that way, but they would put that ahead of all the other things because they're almost willing to sacrifice just about anything for that. And they would never tell you that. And I think if anyone looked back and took a step back and really thought about it, they probably would never consciously admit that that's what they're doing. But being quote unquote successful in the eyes of many people which means getting a good paycheck off is really important, and that need for significance and all of that. And so I love that you just basically said, you know what, this is what I have to do. I'm making money, but I don't consider myself to be successful in the mom department or in the health department or the family department or all of these other areas of your life that are so critical and really make up the definition of true success. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Amen, sister. I mean, really, and I also want to just say that I don't want anybody to get the impression that it wasn't really, really hard for me to make the decision, because I had that juicy genius moment, you know, that stroke of juicy genius that you guys described, and I was scared as heck,
right.
Like really, really scared. And even when I made that list, I was really, really scared. And, you know, I was concerned about what everyone was going to say also, but I had to look at it as like this. I'm working my butt off to have financial success. And, you know, am I willing to work my butt off to have like full on success? And I think that was what it was, is it's not, I wouldn't call it easy. I would call it takes work, but the work is worth it. And it's the same work that you would contribute to another organization.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I thank you for adding that. I know that it wasn't an easy decision. And I think anytime someone really steps outside their comfort zone and goes off that path of, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what everyone, how everyone expects me to behave, this is my job, and really just stepping into the unknown, I think it's 100% scary. And for anyone who thinks it's easy, maybe hasn't, you know, fully taken on that factor for that role. So again, thank you for that. And I think it's just necessary. Like you said, it's something you deal with. You know it's going to be a lot of work, but you realize what's important and you go after it. So one thing you said was that you were worried what people were going to say. And that's something that I think Leanne and I have both experienced, is Leanne was on track to be corporate world. I was planning to go to law school, and we made the decision to go off and do our own thing. And now it's taken us to where we are today. But it was definitely what other people would think, and how other people reacted was definitely a reality of something we had to deal with. So some people are really supportive and other people not so much. And maybe it's because they don't understand it, but how did you deal with any people who were unsupportive of your decision, and maybe, you know, gave off some negative energy about your decision to change your life?
I think that it was hard. I mean, especially, you know, I grew up, I wanted my mom to really accept, because her being my mother and I was making a decision mainly because of my own children, I was so concerned with what she thought. And she had definitely a prescription that she had for me as her child, even though I was already 28 years old at the time. And, you know, how I dealt with it is I was just completely honest. And I used to also feel like I had to have that corporate outfit or superhero outfit on around my mom to pretend that I was okay. And it was when I got vulnerable and real with her, which was really hard. She finally saw it in my eyes that this was something I needed to be supportive. So, and now and then, I mean, it's been now 10 years since I took the plunge, and she still has things to say because she's concerned, because she's my mom. But at the same time, I just really kind of, I don't get defensive about it anymore. I think that was the thing, is dealing with people, is I don't dismiss them, but I don't get defensive either. You know, it's cool. That's what you think. And I appreciate that you're concerned about me or, you know, how I'm doing things. And I'm still doing it anyway. And I think, again, that word and, that three-letter word, really, really changed my life. And frankly, the other part of it is I really try to be in the total opposite space of anybody who's negative. So I make a conscious effort, you know, when I meet somebody first, I don't judge out of the gate. But the minute I feel that your energy is negative, I separate myself respectfully, because I'm a highly energetic person. And in the beginning, it was really hard because I wanted everybody to just be with me, with this cool notion that I had that I was going to, you know, rock the world with new business I was launching. And, you know, I got to admit, a couple people really threw stones at it at first. And it took me, you know, 5 steps back because I cared, and I was always worried to lose them, or I was worried that they wouldn't love me anymore. And, you know, I realize now 10 years later, that's total BS. But don't get me wrong, I still deal with it. Even when somebody says something negative to me, it still kind of hurts, but it doesn't prevent me from doing, like everything, I think it's, you've got to train your muscle to be able to defend against that, as well as just keep yourself away from it. That would be my advice, as much as possible.
Yeah, and I completely agree with everything that you just said. Well, it's interesting. I think that it was a couple of weeks ago we were interviewing someone, and they really said that they were experiencing that same sort of thing. They're excited, they're going out, they're sharing their vision, they're ready to take on the world. And then you get some feedback from people, and not everyone's as excited as you. And it's always really important to realize that that's okay, because we're on our journey and we're following our passions and our purpose in life. And somebody else is on their own journey and they're following their own purpose. And I think that it's when you're able to respect what another person is doing, regardless of whether or not it's in line with what you're doing, that that's a powerful feeling. And then on the flip side, being able to accept that not everyone is actually going to accept what you're doing, but just to be confident in yourself and in your vision and in your message, and to continue moving forward despite that. And then I also really like that you said how you really got vulnerable and you were real with your mom. When you said that, it reminded me of one of my favorite quotes, and it's a Stephen Covey quote, and it says, "Seek first to understand and then to be understood." So I know with myself, when I made the decision to move to Malaysia, I had a job offer doing marketing for the Olympics and then one for a pharmaceutical sales company. And of course, my father wanted me to take the more corporate one. He wasn't pressuring me, but it was obvious and I knew it. I chose the very opposite choice that he would have done. And I had a chat with him. And as soon as I had a chat with him and I said, "I understand that you want the best for me," and I explained where I was coming from, it was the same sort of thing. He actually saw that I was passionate and that I wasn't on a bad track. I was just on a different track, and that what he thought was best for me wasn't necessarily what was best for me. So I think you said a lot of very powerful things in there. And for everyone out there who's on a path and you're starting your own business and you're starting to pursue your own vision and purpose in life, don't let other people discourage you, and make sure to surround yourself with those really positive, like-minded people. And for the people that are close to you in your life, just take some time and explain yourself to them. And I think that when you actually put in the time, beautiful things happen. So I know we have to wrap up now, but before we do, why don't you take a few minutes and tell us a bit more about your business and what your main focus is, and then just let our community know where they can go to find more about what you're up to and any upcoming events that you may have.
Thank you so much. Well, yeah, I am so pumped to talk to you guys today. It's so neat to, and I know your community feels the same way, it's so neat to be around other females who get it, right? And also the challenges that come with that. So thank you so much. I even super inspired right now. So yes, so my marketing and media company is called ChemCom Media Group. And my brand that really helps female entrepreneurs is called The Fabu Life, where we help women make their life their business now. And, you know, I do that through a couple of things. You know, I definitely have my coaching practice, but what really excites me is I do these intensive weekends with female leaders. And I have one coming up in Maui, end of June, June 29th to July 1st. And I'm calling it the Wahine Wisdom Plus Wealth Weekend. And for those of you who've never heard the term Wahine, it means woman or goddess. And so I'm really excited for that event. We're going to be bringing in some really amazing speakers and helping women kind of not just learn how to market their business, but more importantly, give back to themselves by being in a beautiful environment where they can be with other like-minded women and create that community that is so essential to, you know, living this purpose-driven life. So yeah, that's what I have going on, and can find me at www.thefabulife.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing that. I wish I was going to be in Maui in June, because I would totally be at that weekend, but we've got some coaching programs going on then, so we're not going to be able to make it, but we'll definitely wish you all the best in that weekend. And if any of you ladies listening are interested in finding out more, definitely go check out thefabulife.com. We'll link below to all of that below this video, so everyone has access to that. And once again, Jen, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing
your story
and everything. And it was just really great chatting with you.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Friday and great weekend.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.